nearly 20 years ago, I was in the nation of New Zealand. And while I was there, I was in a meeting, and someone came up to me. I remember he was a Presbyterian pastor, but he had a real prophetic call in his life. And he said, "God, give me a prophecy for you." And he began to prophesy over me. And he prophesied that God had called me to relate to a younger generation, be involved somehow in ministering to a young generation, young people. And I, in my heart, my spirit, even though I was involved in church leadership for many years, I felt like, and I was getting older, I felt like there's probably something to this, something of God to this. This is probably nearly 20 years ago, 18 to 20 years ago. So about a year later, I was in a conference in Washington, D.C., and while at the conference, I received prayer from someone I had known from the West Coast, a very well-known pastor and leader, and he began to speak over me and prophesy over me, almost the same thing that I heard just before in New Zealand. He said, "You're called to a younger generation, and God's going to use you with the younger generation." So I made the assumption that meant I should start a youth ministry. So I get a bunch of people together at my house, our house, and said, "God spoke to me to work with a younger generation." And we started a brand new youth ministry. And every, I think it was Monday night, I would meet with a group of young people, and I'd train, try to give teaching, and we thought they'll bring their friends, and we'll start this new youth ministry. I enjoyed it. It was some of my friends. We did it together. But it really never grew very much. There may have been 20 to 30 people at the most who came, and it went down to about 20, maybe 15. And I thought, there's something missing, and I wasn't sure what it was. But while this is happening, there's another group in our county who had started a Bible study, all led by young people. And this group grew from about 25 to 50 to 100 to 200 to 400 to 500. It was growing and growing and growing. And I thought one day, and a lot of these young people were young people I knew. Someone I was pastoring, and was pastoring just in the process of turning things over to another generation. And I knew these young people. They're my friends. And I thought, well, this is interesting. This is growing. And what I'm doing is not yet. I'm trying to obey this prophetic word. And one day I just realized, what am I doing? God never called me to start a youth ministry. God called me to pour my heart into a younger generation. And then these young people came and said, would I be one of their advisors? And they had two or three or four different pastors and leaders who were advisors to them. And I remember sitting in a restaurant one morning, and they were asking me, how are you filled with the Holy Spirit? And I explained to them from Scripture. They said, could you pray for us here in this restaurant? And we went back into another room and prayed. And I just became close friends with these young men. I remember, and this ministry continued to grow. It grew to more than 1,000, sometimes 1,300 people every week, all led by young people. They had different pastors coming in every Tuesday night. And while I had been having this ministry every Monday night, that was getting smaller and smaller and smaller. Now, size isn't the issue, but I realized there was something missing. So I said to this younger generation, those of you who feel called to, let's just go and get involved in this other ministry. And I realized the mistake that I had made is what the prophets had said was true. I was called to a young generation, but I wasn't called to start a youth ministry. I was called by God to be a spiritual father to this youth ministry that had started, that God was obviously blessing and lasted 6 years and changed thousands of lives. I was called to be a spiritual father to a younger generation. Now, practically, I want to talk to you about what does it look like to be a spiritual father. Now, I want to talk to you about some of the different spheres of influence that you will have. And I mentioned before when Jesus had different spheres of influence, you know. It was Jesus, and then John, then the three, Peter, James, and John, then the 12, 120, and of course, then he ministered to the multitudes. So, again, listen to God. Do what He calls you to do. And remember, it was probably just for a season that you pour your life into certain people. I remember I was pouring my life into this young generation of leaders, and I sat at a restaurant one day with one of the leaders, and he said, I think I figured out why God chose Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, to see this move of God. I think I figured it out. I said, well, what do you think it is? He said, it's because God knew there'd be fathers here to help us. And there were other fathers, a group of pastors and leaders. We were just there to help them and bless them. Not control it, but bless them and what God was doing through them. So, what are some things that I have learned over the years from Scripture, from experience, from others, of being a spiritual father and mother? One thing that's really important is be transparent and be vulnerable. Be open about your own life. I used to think I had the answers, and I'd tell people, if you do this and this and this, it'll work. Now I try not to do that. What I do today, I say, look, here's what the Bible says to show them what the Scripture says. I tell them my story. This is how it applied to my life. Now you go and take this, you go and listen to God, and you do what God's called you to do. See, transparency leads to intimacy. As we're transparent with God, we have intimacy with God. As we share our feelings and things that have gone on in our lives with our spiritual sons and spiritual daughters, it builds a relationship of trust as we have intimacy together with each other and with God together. I have found that if we're not open, they won't be open. I have a friend who said to me once, I was leading this house fellowship, and he said, I asked our house fellowship, does anybody have any needs? Anything we can pray for? And he said, no, we're fine. He said, so I said, look, I'm going through some stuff. Could I share with you what I'm going through? He said, I shared some things in my heart. He was open, vulnerable. He said, within 5 minutes, everybody had a problem because they were all open because he was open. There's a sense of being a spiritual father, spiritual mother, whereby we are vulnerable and we are open. I mean, with young couples, you know, my wife, Laverne, and I are married 45 years. And as I said in one of the former sessions, I'm so in love with her today. I feel very blessed to be married to her for 45 years. But I tell people we had 44 good years and one really hard year. After 5 or 6 years of marriage, it was very hard. And I often tell young couples the story and how we thought we could have lost our marriage. We went to a marriage counselor. We got help. And God, by His grace, healed our marriage. And I tell that story. But then I find their response is, wow, if God can heal you, He can give us hope and heal us. Because people think we have it all together. We don't have it all together. God has it all together. But we need to be honest and open, and we need to be transparent. And let's point people to Jesus. Let's point people to Him. You know, you don't have to feel like you have to fix everybody, because you will not fix everybody. But Jesus is the one who fixes us. Galatians 4:2 says that children need guardians and stewards. And, you know, until the time appointed by the Father. This applies also to spiritual sons and daughters. They need people to help them as we point them to Jesus and help them build a relationship with Jesus. I'll say it again. No one ever takes the place of the Heavenly Father. We're here to help others be connected to the Heavenly Father and to be all He's called them to be. Spiritual following is not a way to get people to do what we want them to do. Spiritual following is not a way to get people to serve our ambitions and our visions and our dreams. Instead, it's an opportunity to help discern the will of God for their lives as they hear from God and then hold them accountable to do what God's called them to do. And by the way, we talk about being accountable. You know what true accountability is? It's not me telling you what to do. Accountability. If you're accountable to me and we have a personal relationship, true accountability is you pray, what has God called you to do? And then you ask me to hold you accountable to do that. I remember I was struggling in my devotional life, my time with God many years ago. So I asked a friend of mine, I said, hold me accountable. Call me at 7 o'clock every morning for a while. Make sure I've had time with God. See? But he wasn't saying, you must get time with God every morning, even though it was important. But he was simply saying, yes, I will hold you accountable to do something God has shown you. That is true accountability. Now, obviously, if people have sinned in their lives and we're house church leaders and we have a responsibility, help them face that and find freedom, of course there's a place for that. But I'm talking about spiritual fathering here and mothering relationships. How often should you meet together? That's between you and them and the Lord. It might be once a month. A new Christian might be once a week. It might be somebody you work with. I remember I was in New Zealand talking about the importance of being a spiritual father, spiritual mother, and talking about being a mentor and a minister and how we're all called to be ministers. I remember there was a man in the back of the room raised his hand. He said, could I please take a minute and tell you my story? I said, sure. He said, I grew up in the nation of Scotland. I felt like I was called to go to seminary. And I said, I tried, but he said, I flunked out. I moved way down here to New Zealand. I was discouraged. I tried to go to another Bible school and somehow it didn't work. He said, I got a job recently, and the guy next to me asked me about my faith, and he said he gave his life to Christ. And now, he said, every day, we're talking about Jesus, and I'm helping him grow in the Lord. He said, you know, I wanted to go to Bible college to be a minister. He said, that's why I wanted to go to Bible college. But he said, and I had this burden, I'm not a minister. But today, he said, I see it. He said, it's like this load has fallen off my back. He said, I will no longer try to be a minister. I am a minister. Because he was ministering on the job every day. He's a spiritual father to this person on this assembly line where he was working. So, again, how often do you meet together? As often as God, as the Lord shows you, and whatever that looks like. Some people prefer having breakfast. Some people prefer just praying together. Some people love when you just ask lots of questions. I mean, it's different for everybody. I have this restaurant right near where I live. And the owner of the restaurant's a friend of mine. I'm in there a lot when I'm home because I meet with so many people. There have been many times I've had 3 breakfasts in the same restaurant, in the same morning. That's why I had to go to our weight loss plan, because, but I have, orange juice and coffee at one and something small at the other, and the other a little bit more coffee, whatever. But I do that because I'm traveling constantly. I need time to spend with people that God showed me I need to pour my life into. Now, the owner of the restaurant said, I probably should rent a table. I understand why he says that. But the reality is, we're called to do whatever it takes to spend time with people. We pray for them. We stand with them. I remember mentoring a young farmer many years ago. I'd go out in the field and sit on the tractor with him and pray with him and ask him how he's doing in his marriage and how he's doing in his own spiritual life on the tractor. So again, there's many ways to do this. Now, here's a key. Here's a real key to being a spiritual father. Jesus did this all the time. Jesus asked lots of questions. He said, who do men say that I am? Who do you say that I am? He asked questions. And we need to learn to ask questions. I took some, when I got my degree at Southwestern Christian University, when I turned age 60, I got my degree. And I waited a long time for that. And when I did, I took some courses on coaching, life coaching. I realized the power of asking questions, especially powerful questions. Questions that don't have a yes or no answer. And here's the kind of questions you can ask. How's your relationship with Jesus? Again, all this is in your text. If you have the book, The Cry of a Spiritual Fathers and Mothers. How is your relationship with your spouse if they're married? Who are you praying for? Has your thought life been pure? What struggles are you having this week? Have you shared your faith this week? Are you serving other people in love? What was your greatest joy? What's your biggest disappointment? What do you see yourself doing 5 to 10 years down the road? How can I help you fulfill what the Lord's called you to do? Don't ask all those same questions the same day. All right, just take one or just take two. There's some examples of things that we can do. And again, you don't have to solve every problem. Only God does. I talked before about being a Holy Spirit hinge. God might use you to connect them with somebody else or to a book or to a certain kind of ministry. You don't have to have all the answers, but that's why you need to maintain proper boundaries with them. We talked just briefly before about dependent relationships and codependent relationships and emotional dependent relationships, and we do need to be careful that that can't happen. That's why it's important that we're spiritual fathers, spiritual mothers, we're playing churches, there's others we're connecting to who can help us walk through those situations. Proverbs 19, verse 19 says this, if you rescue him, you'll have to do it again. Some people just want to be rescued, and you have to do it again and again. We're helping people trust Jesus, not helping them just trust us, or just trust the house church or the church, but helping them trust Jesus. Now, what if we need help? And that's why sometimes we do. That's why there's Christian counselors. That's why there's deliverance ministries. That's why there's healing ministries. That's why we need the rest of the body of Christ. Remember, you are not their source, but God is. Get some help if you need to. I remember I was mentoring a young man, and one day he was concerned because he felt like I was taking too much time with others I was mentoring, not enough time with him. And then the relationship became, got weird and got dysfunctional. But I had others that I was connected to in my life who could help me walk through that so that I could help him find someone else who would really give him what he needed. It's okay if these relationships are only for 6 months or a year. Some will be lifetime, some will be short-term, some will be long-term. But again, if you think it's long-term, start short-term and evaluate in the process. But make it easy to get out of the relationship. Otherwise it becomes controlling. If you find there's an issue, a problem, it's not working, address the root of the conflict, try to resolve it. But if you can't, have somebody you both trust come in and help you work through that whole situation. And it's great to have multiple spiritual fathers and multiple spiritual mothers at the same time. And that's great. When my father was living, he's now with the Lord, he mentored me in finance. I had others who mentored me in church leadership and others who mentored me in other areas. If you're, again, fathering new believers, again, there's lots of ways to do this. Well, we have done for years, and we've recommended these books, Knowing Jesus Christ as Lord. We call it a Biblical Foundation Series. One little book, and takes 4 weeks, and you go through this with somebody. They go through it, and they read the scriptures. They fill in the blanks, and they get the revelation. You sit and walk through it together and do that week after week. And we've literally seen hundreds of thousands of these that have been distributed throughout the body of Christ. But there's many ways you can do that, and you can find what really works best for you. There's what we call homogeneous fathering, mothering, widows. who've been widows for a while, can be a spiritual mama to a new widow, business persons to a younger business persons. I have a friend, he said he finds great joy in mentoring young business persons. And many of the young business persons, some of them have told me, we've been greatly blessed by his ministry into our lives. Men mentor men, women mentor women. Titus chapter 2 that we had read before, who says women should, the older women should mentor the younger women. And of course, Titus was involved in mentoring the men. Now, there are times that there's group mentoring. Billy Graham and Bill Bright, the founder of Campus Crusade for Christ, now called CREW, were both mentored by a woman named Henrietta Mears, but it was a group mentoring. And that is a different situation, obviously. It's just unwise for men to be mentoring women and women to be mentoring men. And then as soon as you can, you turn it over. You turn the ministry over to those you're training and trust that they'll even have a double anointing and do a better job than you could ever do. And you know, there will be changes. When children grew up, like many that I mentored for years, in many ways they're like peers to me today. And it's a whole different relationship. And I still feel honored as being a spiritual father in their lives. But really, they've helped me a lot. They've helped me see things that I wouldn't have seen. I noticed when my father was very, very old, that he began to look to me to help him. It's almost like the relationship began to change. And that can also change spiritually, where our spiritual children will help us and help us and serve us as we get older and we're involved in mentoring together. But bottom line is, we want to see the kingdom of God advance. The kingdom of God is advanced through people. Through people who are mentored to become more like Jesus. We're seeing the character of Christ built in their lives. We're praying that Christ is formed in them. And the most important thing that you will do for a spiritual son or daughter is pray for them day after day after day and stand with them in prayer and then ask them questions and be there for them so they can feel secure that there's one person in the world they can go to who is not going to judge them, but is going to be there for them and help them. We'll speak truth to them. The Bible says speak the truth in love. Speak the truth to them, but has their best interests at heart. Couples can mentor couples. Again, there's so many ways that this can work. But this is part and parcel to the kingdom of God. And in the scriptures, God's returning the hearts of the fathers to the children, and he's returning the hearts of the children to the fathers in the day we live in.